Hi, I'm Dr. Vossen, the city's doctor. It's that time of year again for your annual flu shot. And with COVID-19 still around, it's just as important to stay up to date with your COVID-19 vaccinations. COVID-19 and the flu have similar symptoms like fatigue, body aches, headache, sore throat, congestion, and runny nose, and both can make you severely ill. So if you have symptoms, it's important to get tested for COVID-19 and flu to know what to do next. The new, stronger COVID-19 booster and the annual flu vaccine are available at doctor's offices, pharmacies, and vaccination sites across the city. So why not save yourself some time and get both shots together? It's safe and effective. I did it, and I'm glad I did. The time to get your COVID-19 booster and flu shot is now. For more information on flu, visit nyc.gov/health/flu. And for more information on the COVID-19 vaccine, visit nyc.gov/COVID-vaccine.
And you're listening to the Talkline Network over WVIP 93.5 FM HD2, New Rochelle, New York. We are America's only Jewish radio program on regular broadcast radio on the internet and digital platforms. Enjoy.
You are listening to
Talkline Network Radio, America's longest running Jewish broadcast network, the voice of the Jewish community.
What are we gonna do with our children? What are we gonna do to show we care? How are we gonna be there for our children when they feel that life has just not been that fair?
Good evening and welcome back to Mask's weekly radio show on Family Matters. Mask, Mothers and Fathers Alliance, saving kids, kids of all ages and all stages for all mental health struggles. If you know someone that needs a referral for a therapist, an inpatient or outpatient program, a parent support group still offered by Zoom, please give us a call, 718-758-0400. I'll repeat the number. Maybe you want to jot it down for yourself, a loved one, a neighbor, or someone you usually would sit next to in shul. Our number again, 718-758-0400. Tonight, we're just coming out of so many weeks of holiday season. We've had so many meals. I hope everyone has a good winter, a healthy winter, a happy, healthy new year. And being that we've had so many meals, so many people were talking about overeating over the holidays. And we are very happy to have on tonight with us someone that specializes in disordered eating. And that is Sarah Bateman, who's an LCSW, a psychotherapist. She specializes in disordered eating, as well as depression and anxiety. And I have been working with Sarah since, I would say, 2009, because she is also the liaison for the Jewish community for the Renfrew Center. So I'd like to welcome you on tonight with us. Thank you for making the time.
Thank you so much.
How are you, Sarah?
Hi, thank you so much for having me, and thank you for bringing light to this important topic.
Thank you for coming on. We've had you on before. Always happy to have you back. And I want to really start to talk about coming out of the holiday season, the last several weeks, and all the different meals. Somebody counted, there was something like 24 or 27 formal meals that we've had, thank God. And I want to talk about first, you speaking about eating disorders. What are some of the common eating disorders, please?
Okay, yeah, thank you. I think that just coming out of the holidays and the endless meals, I think everyone's just needs some time to adjust and get back on track, not just with the food, but with the schedule and the structure and with kind of expecting to sit down for a big meal in the middle of the day, which is what we've kind of gotten used to versus going back to work and going back to school and not celebrating holidays every day. So I think it's normal and okay for everyone to just kind of go through the adjustment and the transition. But eating disorders are serious conditions. It's not just overeating. It's not just struggling with the large amounts of foods. It's a persistent problem with eating that negatively affects health and emotions and the ability to function. And eating disorders are the second most deadly mental disorder, with opiate deaths being first. Most people think of anorexia and bulimia. Anorexia means that a person is not eating enough to sustain what their body needs. And bulimia means that a person binges and purges, or that they take in too much food in a short amount of time and then engage in behaviors to get rid of that food, such as self-induced vomiting or overexercise. I think a lot of people don't realize that overexercising to get rid of the food they ate can be considered bulimia if done often enough and regularly enough. But even more common than both anorexia and bulimia is binge eating disorder. And that's when a person binges but does not engage in compensatory behaviors. They don't purge the food they've eaten, but will often restrict or not eat enough outside of a binge. And the most common eating disorder diagnosis is actually EDNOS, or eating disorder not otherwise specified. That's when a person switches between symptoms of the different eating disorders and they don't stick to just one set of symptoms. I really do like to just explain that, because a lot of times people think I'm not really sick because I don't meet the diagnosis for anorexia or bulimia. And all of these issues at any level can be really distressing and debilitating.
Absolutely. And there are more eating disorders. Are there more eating disorders in the Jewish community than the general population as a result of all the holidays and meals surrounded by it?
So I definitely wouldn't say that it's a result of the Jewish holidays. We don't actually know that there are more eating disorders in the Jewish community than the general population. We don't have any good data showing that there are more. We've had a few small studies that have made it look this way, but they haven't really been across the population, across the ages. What we know is that there are more Jews in treatment. And this could be due to a number of reasons. It could be the location of treatment centers. It could be access to insurance and healthcare. And it could even be the value of Jewish life and the emphasis on getting help when we need it in the Jewish community. But I think just kind of the way you asked with the Jewish holidays, it's just important to look at what the stressors and triggers are for the people who are struggling in the community, and how we can be helpful and culturally sensitive to the needs of the people who are Jewish and have eating disorders. And until we really have the statistics or somebody does a more pervasive study, we don't know, but we definitely talk about it a lot and we're definitely paying attention. And like I said, we're definitely seeing more Jewish people in treatment than the general population.
Well, Mask Helpline, we're in our 25th year, and I know when I met you in 2009, I know then it was still not a very large number were coming in about eating disorders. We did have a parent support group that we had parents
a small group that was interested in having a support group, but only by phone. They were embarrassed to be seen. This was in 2009, actually. And we had it by phone. And after four sessions, they all trusted each other. And they met at the therapist's office. They all agreed. And it went on for 2 years. And yet, it was a small amount of parents at that time calling in. Whereas, fast forward now, we get calls all the time about eating disorders. So I think breaking the stigma, talking about it more, putting it out there, having shows like this one is so important so that people could get access to help. Let's talk about the culturally sensitive topic for the FEM community about eating disorders. Tell us a little bit about what you do by Renfrew, please.
Sure. Thank you. Yeah, I agree with you that, first of all, that I have definitely seen a reduction in the stigma of talking about eating disorders in the Jewish community. I've seen rabbis being so much more willing to educate themselves and answer questions, and schools being so much more willing to have speakers come in. And, you know, I always acknowledge that I'm on the helping side. So I see the people who are willing to get help, but I also just see, I've seen such a change in the openness in the community, the willingness. You know, when people had me come in to speak in schools 15 years ago, they didn't want me to use the word eating disorder. I had to be very careful how I spoke. And now I hear principals saying, we're happy to be talking about eating disorders. We believe that by talking about it, we can have less of a problem. And just because people are getting help more doesn't mean that there's more of a problem. It means that there could be more willingness to get help. But so yeah, it's a really great thing. I've seen that change in the community, and definitely so much more awareness and acknowledgement, and less stigma for getting treatment. And in terms of what I do for Renfrew, I do several different things. I as the liaison to the Jewish community, I work with the patients individually, making sure that they have their religious needs met when they go into treatment, making sure that we have kosher food for whoever needs it in any treatment center, making sure that the therapists know what questions to ask. Obviously, they don't have to be Jewish themselves, but they have to be able to be aware of the cultural needs, respecting Sabbath observance, holiday observance. If somebody's going to be in residential treatment over Shabbat or holidays, making sure that the lights are taped to stay on and that they don't have to write, and that nobody's, you know, they might have to sit through groups, but nobody's going to expect them to do anything that contradicts their religious beliefs. And more than that, that we're going to respect it, and we're going to talk about the triggers, the practices that may have affected them. I'm very careful to never blame Judaism. I give professional trainings as well outside of Renfrew through the Renfrew Center Foundation. And I always say, I'm not looking to blame Jewish rituals. In fact, I think Jewish rituals and practices can be a really helpful part of the healing process. But for somebody who is struggling, we want to look at what in their family and in their life and in their Judaism might have been challenging for them, so that we can work on finding a way to help them practically in treatment deal with those concerns. And also, yes, sometimes we can also turn it around and stop focusing on the challenges and go into the deeper meaning, which is a big part of what we do in eating disorder treatment in general. We want to kind of get past the surface, what we struggle with, and go to what it's really about.
So besides food, there are other challenges that people with eating disorders deal with on Shabbos and holidays.
Absolutely. The amount of food can be difficult for anyone. You know, in addition to the eating, there's the time that we sit around the table. There's the planning, the shopping, the cooking of the food. I think we were counting up the meals, and I think it was something like 24 Thanksgiving dinners from Rosh Hashanah to the end of Sukkot. So, you know, we didn't even have one overlap this year of a holiday and Shabbat. So we had a lot of meals. But in addition to the meals, in addition to the food, which I really think can become challenging for anybody to have that too many days and meals in a row, there can be stress from the change in schedule. For people who work in a not Jewish environment, there's taking so many days off of work or getting your work done with so many days spent on holiday observance. And there could be stress from time spent with family, depending on the environment. There could also be loneliness for people who don't have family or friends to spend the holiday with. There's also pressure, whether it's felt internally or externally, on appearance and looking a certain way. And for some people, the observance of the holidays and Shabbat can mean an absence of distractions that leave them struggling to sit with their own feelings and emotions.
Absolutely. You bring up a focus of appearance. That can be a big problem, especially social media today. So many of the young that are following different influencers, and they are speaking about today, by the way, they did mention, I was told, a lot of the influencers brought up about not going to strict dieting today and fasting, etc. So let's talk about that appearance issue, please.
Absolutely. I think you just brought up a really good point about the social media. I tell my patients to their faces all the time that I do not envy them growing up, you know, in this world with social media and Instagram and this pressure to take the perfect picture and look perfect in the perfect picture, in the perfect outfit, with the perfect background, and, you know, seeing other people feeling left out. You know, we used to not know if we missed something, and that could be okay. And now you see pictures of it online all the time. So I think that appearance definitely takes up a lot of focus in our community, but also in our society and our culture at large today. And I don't see this as just a Jewish problem. I think it can be problematic for anyone. There's pressure not only to be thin, but to look perfect at all times. And like I said, to take the perfect picture and have it online forever. And this can play into so much pressure, stress, depression, obsessive behaviors, obsessive preoccupation with appearance and beauty appointments and hair and nails. And, you know, appearance can be important when we think of it as how we present ourselves to others initially. You know, did I brush my hair today? Did I put myself together? And am I wearing an appropriate outfit for where I'm going? You know, it can be important on a basic level, but when it becomes our entire focus, we're not leaving room for what we say and what we do to matter. And we want to be able to get past how we look and think about how we feel and what we want and what our emotional needs are and what we do and you know, have our actions matter more than our appearance.
So I want to bring up something very important if our listeners don't understand when we say about 24 Thanksgiving meals over the last 4 weeks. It is two full Thanksgiving dinners a day.
Yeah.
So what one would usually prepare for a Thanksgiving meal, we have that twice in a day, and not very many hours in between, actually. By the time you get up and finish 4 o'clock from one meal, you're already starting to eat at 7:30, another meal. So we're talking about really big meals. Let's go to emotions. You bring up, you know, you mentioned feelings and emotions. Let's discuss how that really relates to the Jewish people and eating disorders, please.
Okay, so this is a lot of the work we do in treatment. We view eating disorders as emotional disorders, and that basically food and the preoccupation with our bodies is a way to avoid dealing with our feelings. So first of all, on Shabbat, when we don't have, we're not running around, we're not going to work, we're not going online, we're not listening to music, we can't just pick up the phone and call somebody or distract ourselves. You know, a lot of times we're forced to sit with our feelings and sit with our emotions. And as you said, that kind of sitting around the table, that feeling of fullness, it can be really hard for people to tolerate, especially when they never learned how to navigate their emotions. When people are struggling with eating disorders, they often feel that they're emotions are intolerable. They feel that their feelings are too big and they don't know how to feel sad or angry or bored or frustrated in a normal way and to be able to go through it. They might feel that their emotions are too big and too much. And eating disorders are a way to manage those feelings. It's a way to try and get rid of those feelings when you don't know how to go through that. So like I said, if you're distracting yourself and you're able to exercise and go on social media and keep really busy, this is not the goal, but it's a great way to distract yourself. And when you're not able to do that, you often don't know how to sit with it. And it can just be really overwhelming. A lot of people who are in treatment for eating disorders and are Jewish will do better over the week and kind of feel like they fall backwards every single week on Shabbat. So this is something I do like to point out to people and to patients themselves, but also to supporters, to really just see if you can talk, open the dialogue, go back to how are you feeling? How are you doing? Maybe take a walk, have a break between some of those meals and, you know, not have the focus be on exercise, but just in processing some of the emotions and moving your body in a healthy way. And, you know, what we want to do is get to a place where we can feel our feelings and not need the distractions, where we can learn how to tolerate our emotions and how to go through them.
I think it's also, like you said, the family members should really have these conversations before the weekend, not wait until the weekend where they're struggling, their loved ones, but actually during the week, is it all right for them to speak to them and say, what can we do to make the weekend easier for you? What should we prepare for you or do different? What are your feelings on that?
Yeah, I totally agree. I think, you know, if we kind of flip these things around and we look at it as an opportunity, yes, do the planning during the week and then spend that time on Shabbos, spend that time around the table, spend that time without the distractions of daily life to go back to, you know, rather than getting caught up in the food and the appearance, see if you can spend some time on the feelings and the needs and the underlying emotions. And I think you phrased that beautifully. How can I help? Ask the question, keep asking the question.
Right. Keep having conversations.
Yeah.
So we have with Sarah Bateman, who's a psychotherapist specializing in eating disorders, depression, anxiety, and she's the liaison for the Jewish community for the Renfrew Center. Sarah, MASC is really about hope. Hope for recovery, hope for family members, hope for caregivers, hope for clients. And I want you to speak about recovery for eating disorders. What could you offer, please?
Thank you. Yes. Somebody actually asked me the other day, well, are eating disorders curable? And I said, well, I wouldn't use the word curable. I would say that people recover from eating disorders. And I definitely don't think I could do this for as many years as I've done it if I didn't have hope and I didn't have reason to keep being able to give hope. I see people recover all the time. I see people learn that it's not about getting rid of an eating disorder. It's not about getting rid of our feelings. It's about learning to manage. And it's about learning to go through the ups and downs of life and enjoy the good times while being able to be present and go through the bad times and trust yourself that you can get through it. and be able to manage our feelings and know that they're valid and that we can think about the behaviors that we engage in to manage our feelings. Recovery is not about making problems go away. It's about learning how to go through things and how to go through life.
And Sarah, what do you want to say to those people that may be listening that are struggling, and what treatments are there to offer?
Okay, so I think really fast, because I know we're running out of time. A lot of times people with eating disorders don't think they're worthy of help, and that is an underlying part of an eating disorder. It doesn't have to be bad enough. You don't have to be sick enough. Everybody deserves treatment at any level. If you are struggling, you deserve help because you don't have to struggle that much. And the prognosis for recovery is better when you get treatment earlier. So don't wait for it to get worse. If you think you have a problem or you're worried about your child or someone you know, encourage them to get help now. It doesn't have to get worse.
Sarah, I'm so glad you said that, because there are kids, young children, that get bullied in second grade, third grade, fourth grade. And as they get a little older, teenage years, so many of them, I'm talking about hundreds of girls, have developed eating disorders. When we ask them once they're in the treatment programs, what happened in your life when you started, they were bullied. So by you saying getting help early on is the most important message that we need to let the listeners know, please get the help early. There are so many programs that are available and wonderful therapists that are out there, like Sarah and Renfrew and others. Anyone that wants help, treatment, information, Sarah to come down and speak in your schools with parents, teachers, staff, girls, boys programs. Yes, boys do have eating disorders. Not as many as girls, but yes, don't look away. Don't think it doesn't happen. Please give us a call at MASC so that we could connect you to Sarah. If anyone wants to reach her, please call us 718-758-0400. As for me, Ruchama, I'm the founder of MASC, and I personally will make sure that you get through and Sarah will get through to you. So again, thank you to Sarah again for being on with us tonight, and to Renfrew. And I hope to have you on again soon, Sarah.
Thank you so much.
And I want to wish everybody a very good evening, a beautiful Shabbos, and always remember, hang in, hold on, and for now, still virtually, hug tight. Tonight's show is in memory of Rivka Bas Yisrael. Please consider to go online to maskparents.org to make a donation so we could continue with all the MASC programs and the shows. Thank you, and have a healthy winter. Thank you. Good night.
When my garage door wouldn't work, who did I call? I called Mordechai at H&O Garage Doors, because Mordechai is a specialist not only in fixing garage doors, they do low-price garage door tune-ups, but they actually put in garage doors. They have a 24-hour emergency service, and they offer high quality at fair prices. The winter inspection is only $59, great value. So do what I did. Call Mordechai at 718-710-6468. That's 718-710-6468. Senior citizens get 10% off, and of course, Mordechai will gladly give you a free estimate. Again, for all garage door service and needs, repair and installation, call H&O garage doors at 718-710-6468. Again, 718-710-6468. All the work is guaranteed, and they are licensed. Tell Mordechai that Zev sent you.
You are listening to
Talkline Network Radio, America's longest-running Jewish broadcast network, the voice of the Jewish community.